Okay, tonight's shir is a chusur for shleima for shira bas devar leah. So last week we spent a lot of time talking about assorted shilas related to Purim. Some of them regular Purim shilas, some of them Friday Purim shilas, some of them COVID Purim shilas. But I decided tonight that we would actually take one shiloh rather than a whole conglomerate of shilohs, one shiloh, which really almost we could use as a springboard to discuss some basic fundamental yesodos in terms of halacha, in terms of lamdas related to Purim and related to other areas of halacha as well. And it actually also is, it's a shiloh that does come up even on a regular Purim, but I think it's definitely been emphasized, and it's been asked many times over, specifically concerning this year's Purim. And the question is, when is the actually earliest time to read the Megillah on Purim night? Must one wait until it's actually dark in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah? Or are there grounds to read the Megillah a little bit early? Now, even on a regular year, we always try, if we can, to read things on the earlier side. People are fasting. People are tired. We want to get people, to be able to fulfill the mitzvah. They still have a little bit of kachos left to them. This year, things are becoming even a little bit more complicated because many shuls, our own included, are having multiple Kriyas Megillahs because of the just logistics of space. So we can't fit in there, the regular 200, the regular 500, the regular 1,000 people into one room. So we have to stagger a little bit Kriyas Megillah. So say I know for example of that shul. So we have at least three different rounds of Kriyas Megillah in different locations. So we want to try to get things started as early as possible rather than having matriach people decide coming back to Kriyas Megillah at 2 o'clock in the morning. So the question is just how early can we get things started? So the sugi really begins, as we have the Mamakamos, in the first of the Mamakamos, where the Shulchan Aruch tells us something which is rather startling, which is really a tremendous kula, tremendous leniency. If we would actually follow this kula, it would make life much, much easier for us. But we'll see as we go on why we're going to have some reservation, some hesitation about this kula. So Shulchan Aruch quotes the following, the first of the Maamar Kamos, in Siman Tafrei Tzadi Beis in Erechaim. Mishu anus ktsas. If a person has a little bit of an oynes, it's a little bit difficult for them. Ve'enu yochel erech lebeis ha-kneses. Ve'tzoch lahamtir aracha shekor ha-kohol. The kashal of leishim b'taynis kolkach. It's going to be very, very hard for him to wait until they read the Megillah in shul, until it takes a while. Daven Ma'ariv, get the Adam together. They'll lane, they'll clap hombon, they'll sing, they'll dance. And by the time he comes home, the guy's chaloshing, he's plotting, and he doesn't want to eat before the Megillah. Now, which is in of itself somewhat startling. What's so terrible at eating before the Megillah? So we spoke a little bit about this last week, that we try as much as possible not to eat before the Megillah, the same way we try not to eat before any mitzvah. There's a little bit more of a chumrah, a little bit more of a custom to be a little bit more strict about this by Megillah than by other things. Under normal circumstances, one should really try to avoid eating or drinking before the Megillah. If one is in one of those minyanim slots that's significantly later into the night, then I don't think one is required to follow this custom. One can eat a little bit. One should try to set themselves an alarm. We spoke about this a little bit last week. Set an alarm on your phone to remind you not to miss the Megillah. But again, under quasi-normal circumstances, the Shulchan Aruch is describing, the person just doesn't feel so great, doesn't want to wait so long. So what can he do? Says the Shulchan Aruch the following, startling kula. Yachal lishmoa kriyasimi ba'od yom, biplaka mincho l'mal. One can fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah, technically speaking, before it's even dark. Before the sun even sets, what's called plaga mincha. Plaga mincha, we're familiar with plaga mincha from Milchos Tefillah. Plaga mincha on a perfect day is an hour and a quarter before, we paskin before sunset, before Shkia. Let's say, I think Shkia tomorrow night is 5:45. So if you, again, it's not a perfect day yet in terms of the hour and a quarter, but approximately somewhere between an hour to an hour and a quarter before that, one can technically read the Megillah. How do we defend such a practice? How can the Shulchan Aruch say such a thing? It's not even Purim. It's not even a Suffolk Purim. It's not Yudalim. It's Yud Gimel Adar. How could you possibly justify the reading of the Megillah before Purim begins? So the Shulchan Aruch here is based on a principle that appears in the Chos Tefillah, that the Gemara tells us in the fourth parak of Maseches Brachos, there was a machlokes at Tanoim as to when is the earliest time one can daven Ma'ariv. Now we're going to be very, very careful when we talk about davening Ma'ariv. I'm not referring to the mitzvah derais of Kriyashma. Right now I'm referring to the mitzvah derabbanan of Tefillah of Shmoneh Esrei. When is the earliest time to be mispalel? When is the earliest time to fulfill one's mitzvah of davening ma'ariv? So there was machlokes ha'tanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. The Chachamim say you have to wait until literally the end of the day, which according to many means sunset, or maybe even later than that. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you could already daven ma'ariv at the point of plag ha'mincha, which again, the sun is still shining, it's still day, but nevertheless, for ma'ariv purposes, we could treat it almost like it's already nighttime. Obviously, we wouldn't treat it as nighttime for Hilchos Shabbos purposes. We wouldn't tell you to do malach at that point. But for Hilchos Tefillah purposes, it's all what we call the Rishon call a mixus laila. It's the beginning. It's the very, very beginning of getting dark, almost getting dark. And therefore, that's sufficient in terms of davening ma'ariv. How do we pass it in halacha? Do we pass it? You could daven ma'ariv after plag mincha. So that's, again, it was machlokes ha'tanoim. And the Gemara concludes that yes. The Ovid Kemar Ovid, the Ovid Kemar Ovid. If you want to follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda, you may do so. Again, we're not going to discuss all the intricacies of does that mean you daven mincha before plag mincha? Is it the same day? Is it a different day? Is it Erev Shabbos? There are a lot of nuances of the Shaila. We actually spoke a lot about this, some of you may remember, last year in some of the early Corona Shailas, very, very early in the springtime last year. We gave a whole series of different discussions and Shailas that were coming up right and left in terms of Hilchos Tefillah and other things. So this was actually right when the shuls really began, not literally at the beginning of Corona. This was the Tkufa right after Shavuos time, when the shuls began to reopen. So then we had all kind of issues in terms of Zman HaTefillah, because also with staggering issues. So it's hard to believe, we're still 10 months later, we're still staggering HaTefillahs. But then the immediate question was, we can't get everybody in for Mincha Ma'ariv at the same time, so we want to start running some early Mincha Ma'arivs. So it was a whole discussion about how to maneuver davening ma'ariv after plag, and davening mincha before plag, on the same day, different days, Erev Shabbos, etc. So that was a whole topic in and of itself. So the Shulchan Aruch is basically borrowing that concept of Hilchos Tefillah and applying it to Kriyas HaMegillah as well. Just as you could be Yaitzei Shemoneh Esrei of ma'ariv, even though it's not really dark yet, you have to plag a mincha. So too, you could be Yaitzei Kriyas HaMegillah. The truth is, this is not the only place the Shulchan Aruch borrows that idea. The same idea the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Hilchos Chanukah also. Even though the Gemara speaks about lighting Hanukkah candles at night, but the Shulchan Aruch writes, if a person's really stuck, they can technically light the menorah even mibeil yom, even at the time of plag mincha. In Hilchos Chanukah, there's a little bit of a quirk. You have to let the candles burn into dark, because otherwise no one's going to see them, so that's going to be a lack of pesu menisa. But the same basic model exists in Hilchos Tefillah, in Hilchos Megillah, in Hilchos Chanukah, that certain mitzvahs, at least mitzvahs derabbanan, you can always get a little bit of a head start on if you have to after the time of plag mincha. So that's the idea behind the Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramah doesn't disagree with the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah seems to buy into the Shulchan Aruch that this is acceptable. Notwithstanding the view of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, many, many Gedolei Poskim, including the Pri Chodosh and the Vilna Gaon, vehemently disagreed with this psak and claimed that there's no comparison from Hilchos Tefillah to Hilchos Megillah. Hilchos Megillah, you can't lay in the Megillah until it's Purim. And on the 13th of Adar is not Purim. And tomorrow, before it gets dark, it's just not Purim. And therefore, even under the most extenuating circumstances, you cannot read the Megillah. So if we go down the route of the Shulchan Aruch, that it's acceptable, b'shas erchak at least, to lay in the Megillah, be beyond yom, literally when the sun is still shining, after plag mincha, then that would be an amazing opportunity that could make life so much easier. We could start some of the minyanim already at 4:45 tomorrow night. But we're not going to go down that route. We're going to assume that, like the later poskim, the Shabura and the Yochai Shulchan write, that we don't really follow this practice. Really, this Shulchan Aruch and Ramah are really, really extenuating, and we really don't want to follow that, even under our somewhat difficult circumstances. And therefore, we're going to opt for the view of the Pri Chodesh and the Gra to really try to wait until Purim starts. The question is, when does Purim start? So, well, Purim starts when the halachic next day begins, which just tosses the question back a step. When does the halachic next day begin? So this is part of a global question about when does the halachic day begin. So the Gemara tells us in the second Berachah Masechah Shabbos, there's a period of time that is what we call Ben HaShemashos. It's a Safeg Yom, Safeg Laila. We're not sure whether it's part of the previous day. We're not sure whether it's part of the next day. But that's going to make all the difference in the world, because are we going to treat it like yesterday or treat it like tomorrow? So let's say the most important difference to that question is relates to Shabbos. So Gemara raises the question at second break of Shabbos in that period of Ben HaShemashos, Friday going into Shabbos, can you do Malacha? Or Shabbos going into Sunday, can you do Malacha? So the answer to both of those questions is no. Misafek, you can't do Malacha neither on Friday going into Shabbos, because it's a Suffolk Lila, and maybe Shabbos has already begun. On the other hand, you can't do Malacha Shabbos going into Sunday during Benesh Mashios, because maybe it's still a Suffolk Yom, and Shabbos hasn't ended yet. So since this is an unresolved Suffolk in Halacha, we have no choice but to be Machmir on both ends of the equation. Be Suffolk. We have no, what do you want? We don't know what the answer is. So therefore, we are forced to refrain from Malacha during Benesh Mashios on Friday, as well as Benesh Mashios on Shabbos. And that's, of course, the way we practice La Halacha. What time frame, what is that window of Ben HaShemashos? What constitutes Ben HaShemashos? So the Gemara speaks about two terms, the term of Shkia and Seis Kichovim, the sun setting and the stars coming out. The only problem is, there's a major machlokes that we've shown him what exactly the term Shkia means and what the term Seis means. Otherwise, we have a down clue. Otherwise, we know exactly what we're talking about. So we're not sure what Shkia is, what Seis is. For our purposes, which is the view that has probably been accepted pretty much in most of our communities here, and has definitely been the pretty much the accepted view in Eretz Yisrael, it's following what we call the Zman HaYom of the Vilna Gaon. Not that the Vilna Gaon made this up, it was actually great Rishonim, the Rif, the Ram, Gaonim, way hundreds of thousands of years before the Gra had this view, but since the Vilna Gaon gave his stamp to it and his approval to it and he followed it, it's become in the last 200 years known as the Gra Zman HaYom, that basically treats Ben HaShemashos as the period from what we call astronomical sunset. Take a look on your phone, what time the sun sets, it will tell you what's called astronomical sunset, when the ball of the sun dips beneath the horizon. So I think tomorrow that's 5:45. That is Shkia. And Seis Kechovim is not all that long after that. How long after that? So it depends exactly who you ask and exactly which versions of the Gra you're using, exactly how you're calculating. But it's not going to be all that much after that. So there is a window of time between Shkia and Seis, which is the Suffolk. So vis-a-vis Hilchas Shabbos, again, we're going to be machmir, both on Friday and Motzei Shabbos. But maybe one could argue that b'med devar mamurim, we have to be so machmir, that ben hashmashos, we're not sure whether it's the next day or not, so nevach, we have to be machmir. That's when you're dealing with deraisas. But if you're dealing with mitzvahs, which are only mitzvah, such as presumably Kriyas HaMegillah, it's presumably only a mitzvah derabanan. If you're dealing with a mitzvah derabanan, maybe we could turn around and say, Safik deraisa l'chumra, but safik derabanan l'kula. So vis-a-vis malach on Shabbos, which is a Torah doubtful situation, I can't do malach on Safik. Vis-a-vis Kriyas HaMegillah, which is most probably only mitzvah, at least for now we're going to assume it's only derabanan, we have a right to be more lenient, and we could say, well, it's only a Safik, it's only a Safik derabanan anyway, and therefore Safik derabanan goes l'kula. If that would be true, then we could justify reading the Megillah during Ben HaShemashos. Again, according to the Shulchan Aruch, we could justify reading the Megillah even before Ben HaShemashos, but we don't want to go that far. We want to go within the view that you have to wait till Purim starts. Maybe once the sun sets tomorrow night at 5:45, we could already say with a straight face, Purim has started. We're not sure Purim has started, but maybe Purim has started. And since the mitzvah in question is only the Rabbanan mitzvah, we have a right to be mekel. We could be lenient, suffic to Rabbanan l'kulos. So that's at least one possibility that we could present. Yeah, so that's one question.
Our problem is because it's not called Purim.
Well, the problem is that we can only fulfill Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim. So if it's
Masechet Megillah says Megillah Nikret Yud Aleph Yud Bet Yud Gimel.
That's right, but that was a special dispensation that was given for the Kfarim, for the villages, which really doesn't speak to us. So that whole halacha of Yud Aleph Yud Bet Yud Gimel doesn't really apply for us. Bisman is that for us, you have to read the Megillah on Yud Aleph, or if you're a Ben. Or if you're a Shushan Purim person on Tetzvav this year, even they would be invalid. So are we correct in this analysis that something which is only Dirabanan, we could be more lenient and just invoke Safek Dirabanan Lekula and just permit it outright to be done during Ben HaShemashos? So there is a precedent.
Number one, why is the Shulchan Aruch so strict with the fast that you have to wait until after Kriyat HaMegillah? No matter how late you read the Megillah.
Right. So it's a very strange. Many of the posts can actually disagree with the Shulchan Aruch on this and say it's better to wait to read the Megillah at the right time and eat before. It means as soon as it gets dark, so you eat quickly. There's just an echo. Though those who are not muted, it's just better to mute because it's causing a lot of background noise. So the many posts can disagree with the Shulchan Aruch and say it makes much more sense to read the Megillah at the right time and just take a drink, take a piece of cake, take something quickly to eat before the Megillah, rather than jumping to go to the Megillah, because you want to fulfill this minig of not eating. The not eating before the Megillah is really only a minig, and it's not the end of the world minig, and one can be a little bit more makel about this. So getting back to this, so we have precedent in halacha that a mitzvah that's only midrabanan, we can be a little bit more lenient on and permit even doing it, perhaps during menach mashas. What is the precedent we're referring to? So it's actually a tosis in the second of the Mamakamos. It's a sugya related to Sfiras HaOmer. There is a big machlokas in the Rishonim, it may even be rooted in the Gemara itself, whether the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer today is a mitzvah d'Araisa or a mitzvah d'Rabbanan. There are many who maintain that Sfiras HaOmer today is only a mitzvah d'Rabbanan, because since we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have a Korban HaOmer, so the whole mitzvah Sfiras is only a mitzvah d'Rabbanan. And there are others who disagree. So the Baalei HaTosfos happened to be of the opinion that Sfiras HaOmer today is in fact only midrabanan. That was the view of the Baalei HaTosfos. So Tosfos writes, working with that assumption that Sfiras only midrabanan, tells him the Sechel Mamakamis writes, Zeich LeMikdashu, Nira, the Besavi Chasheicha Yochel Levarich, V'Ein Tzoch LaHamtin Ad She'Vah Der Laila, Kev Chusveik HaDerabanan. Tosfos says, it's only a Sofik Derabanan anyway, so what's the big deal? So there's nothing wrong with counting Sfira during Ben Hashmashos. And the truth is that a lot of shuls do this. A lot of shuls, they're not in Maya, let's say, right on the buzzer, right after Shkia. By the time they get the Sfira, it's 10, 15 minutes later, it's still Ben Hashmashos. And they still make a bracha, they still count Sfira. How can we justify that practice? They're following the Shittas at Tosfos. Now, there are those who disagree with Tosfos for one of two reasons. The Rambam would definitely disagree with Tosfos, because the Rambam happens to hold that Sfira today is Deraisa. The Rambam holds that even in the absence of the Korban Omer, Sfira's Omer is a mitzvah Deraisa. So according to the Rambam, it's a no-brainer. Of course, you can't count Sfira during Ben Hashmashos. Even those who agree to Tosfos in theory that Sfira today is Derabanan, they may still not approve of counting Ben Hashmashos. The Ran argues, "Ein osin safik Derabanan l'kulu l'chadchila." You're not supposed to set up a safik Derabanan l'kulu. Safik Derabanan l'kulu means it kind of happened already. It happened, we throw our hands up and say, okay, if I follow, it happened already. But lechatchila to go and count Sfira during Ben Hashmashos, that's not really right. You're not supposed to be oseh sofik derabanan l'kulu lechatchila. So when it comes to Sfira HaOmer, we really have three different possibilities in Rishonim, what that take should be about counting during Ben Hashmashos. Either you could take the view of Tosfos that it's a derabanan, it's a sofik l'kula, and even lechatchila you could do it that way, and that's what many, many shuls follow. Or you can take the other extreme of the Rambam, it's a Sofik Deraisa, and therefore under no circumstances should you count Ben Hashmashos. Or you can take the Ran's view that it's a Derabanan, but you still preferable shouldn't count Ben Hashmashos. So those three different opinions are now going to significantly impact our Shaila in terms of Kriyas HaMegillah. So again, we're working with the assumption that we don't want to lane Mibiyod Yom. We don't want to just go down straight, simple Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, that you can lane Mibiyod Yom B'Shas HaChak. We're aiming to get our Kriyas HaMegillah after Purim started. Do we have a right to say the sun sets, it's Ben Hashmashos, and now we're good to go, and now we have a Sofik Derabanan L'kulu, everything's great? Not so simple. Because just as when it came to Sfiras HaOmer, we weren't 100% sure that Sfiras HaOmer is the Rabbanan, we're not 100% sure that Kriyas HaMegillah is the Rabbanan. Now that may sound like a strange statement. Kriyas HaMegillah, Deraisa, Haidav Hashem Hashleim HaTikras HaMegillah. No, it doesn't say that. Kriyas HaMegillah, the whole Purim story happened thousand plus years after the Torah was given. So obviously, Kriyas HaMegillah is not a Deraisa in the classic sense of the word, but there is something about Kriyas HaMegillah that may almost lend to it that significance, that severity of being like a quasi Deraisa, and that's found in the Mishnah Berurah in the third of the Mamakamos. Kosev HaPrima Gadim, Sofik Im Kriyas HaMegillah. What if a person doesn't remember when they read the Megillah? All of a sudden, you know, a few hours into that, they have no idea, did I hear the Megillah this year? I can't remember where they heard the Megillah. I won't even begin to suggest why the person may not remember where they heard the Megillah. Hopefully that's not happening. But maybe some other mitzvah that he thought he was doing incorrectly, it may have led to that, is not remembering that he read the Megillah, but we'll leave it for maybe another time, another place. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Rebbe Gadol that says, the fellow just can't remember whether he read the Megillah. Efshar, the lower mina b'zeh sveiket derabanan l'kula. The Prima Gadim says, Efshar, he's not sure. So, a lot of sveikas here. We're not sure whether he read the Megillah. Now, the Prima Gadim is not sure. What do you do with such a person? We're not sure whether we can say sveiket derabanan l'kula. Why? We should do divrei Kabbalah. Because Kriyas HaMegillah is divrei Kabbalah. Here, Kabbalah has nothing to do with Zohars. Nothing to do with Jewish mysticism. It has to do with Nevi'im u'Ksuvim. Chazal used the phrase divrei Kabbalah to describe things that appear in Nach, not in Tanakh, not in the Chumash part of Tanakh. but in the Nach part of Tanakh, dinim that appear in the Vim Uksuvim have a very, very unique status in Halacha. Are they real Diaraisas? Not really. They're not Vedab. They weren't commanded by Kodesh Baruch to Meshaben at HaSinai. On the other hand, they are perhaps a little bit more significant than just a plain Din Derabanan that has no mention in Kisvei HaKodesh. So what we're really asking is there a fundamental difference in severity of Halacha between a mitzvah such as Neres Chanukah and a mitzvah such as Kriyas HaMegillah? Do we say, just as Neres Chanukah is Derabanan, so to Kriyas HaMegillah is Derabanan, just as Neres Chanukah would be governed by all the rules of Kula, Suffolk Neres Chanukah L'Kula, it's only a Derabanan anyway, so to Kriyas HaMegillah can be looked at through the lens of being Suffolk Derabanan L'Kula? Or maybe one can argue, wait a second, there's a big difference. Neres Chanukah obviously doesn't appear in Tanakh. It happened hundreds of years after Tanakh was closed. Kriyas HaMegillah did sneak into the, got into the, towards the very end of the period of Tanakh. It does appear in Kisvei HaKodesh. Something that appears in Kisvei HaKodesh in Tanakh, albeit not in the Chumash, maybe the halacha views as almost like a quasi deraisa. It's also the Dvar Hashem. You know, the Dvar Hashem was expressed to us directly in the Chumash Chumash Torah. Then it was also given to us through Nevi'im, through Ruach HaKodesh, etc. So Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nehemar, the Gemara says in Megillah. So maybe the mitzvah Kriyas HaMegillah takes on almost like a quasi-status of a Deraisa, and the Pre-Bogadim is not sure whether that's going to impact practically. Halach Lemaisa, would we say Sufi Kriyas HaMegillah L'chumra or L'kula? So this Pre-Bogadim is going to make all the difference in the world for us, because we want to justify reading the Megillah, not literally maybe El Yom like the Shulchan Aruch, but at least Chach Ben HaShmashos. Because why should this be any worse than Sfiras HaOmer? So the answer is, well, maybe it is worse than Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer today, according to Tosus, is just a plain Derabanan. Whereas Kriyas HaMegillah today, maybe a notch higher, maybe a Suffolk Dibur Kabbalah, and the people of God is not convinced that you don't say Suffolk Dibur Kabbalah L'chumra. So that would be a little bit of a curveball in terms of Asugya. Another possible curveball would be...
The fact that the Chazal say that a Sidin Kolam Mardas Libatl Chutzmi Purim shows that Purim has a special significance that is not attached to Chanukah to some of it, and those other Yom Tovim, and maybe that would create it, you know, a higher degree.
So that Maimer Chazal is a Medrash. It's not in the Gemara, that Maimer Chazal. And what that Maimer Chazal means is not the way it's usually presented, you know, in the sense that all the Yom Tovim, quote unquote, could for sure be bottled. It's not exactly. There's a Chuvah Rashba. There's a whole discussion about what the deeper meaning of that statement of the Medrash is. It's a Medrash, not a Beferish Gemara, and it has to be really understood in context of what that Medrash was driving at. But you're 100% right that Kriyas HaMegillah has certain thing over Chanukah, no question about it. But the question is, does it have any real tachlis to make a difference lahaloch lamaisa? Means maybe in the next, you know, some point in history there may be a difference between Chanukah and Purim. But in terms of practically speaking, in Tinek Bergenfeld, Tufshin Pei Aleph, do I have to be any more machmir in Kriyas HaMegillah than I would be vis-a-vis Neres Chanukah? So again, we have a few tzedakim here to permit the laying of the Megillah a little bit early. First of all, we always have in our back pocket the Shulchan Aruch. It means we can always, you know, as a last resort, the Shulchan Aruch was mativ before Ben Hashmashos. But even if you don't want to go down that route, so if you're willing to call Kriyas HaMegillah Derabanan, and you're willing to say that it's a Safek Derabanan L'Kula, then L'Chari you're good to go. But not so fast, because let's not forget, even Sfiras HaOmer, the Ran didn't approve of. Even Sfiras HaOmer, the Ran agreed with the Rabbanan, and he still was opposed to counting Sfira early. And the Poskim Inuchas Sfiras HaOmer write that it's not really the greatest thing to do to count Sfira early. The reason why the shuls do it is simply the Poskim write we're afraid people are going to forget to count. And Sfiras HaOmer is a kind of a mitzvah. If you forget now, you blow it. So then we have a minute, but we won't let you count with a bracha for the duration of the Sfira. So we don't want to take any chance that the guy's going to mess up and he's going to forget to count Sfira when he gets home. But if all else is equal, so that if a person really knows, he trusts himself, he has his alarm set, he's got 16 emails and text messages and WhatsApps and reminding him to count Sfira throughout the night. That's like, you know, the modern way of not forgetting to count Sfira. So then it's really better not to count Ben HaShmashos. It's really more correct to wait until it says Ichav. So even if we're using Sfira as a model, it's not the perfect model because we're not even sure that's a din by Sfira either. So we have a couple of tzedakim here and there, but this Pre-Bogadim is kind of staring us in the face a little bit. And the Pre-Bogadim is telling us, not so good, not so poshut. Now the truth is that the Pre-Bogadim is a Sofek. The Pre-Bogadim himself is not sure. There's actually a Ran in Maseches Megillah, which is against the Pre-Bogadim. The Ran writes that when you have an ear, she'a Sofek will kefes choyma. If you're not sure whether a city is walled or not, So again, this year, the 1 year does make a difference. Everyone lanes on your dalet. I mean, it makes a difference to the other mitzvayim. But normally, it's a big difference which day you're going to lane on. So the Ran writes that the ikra din is you're late on your dalet. Why is that? So the Ran gives two reasons. One is, rove cities are not walled. And then he says, v'od yishlomar, even if it's a 50-50 suffek, so suffek d'rabanan l'kuli. You lay in the first day, I just call it a day, and you don't have to lay in the second time around. So the Ran invokes suffek d'rabanan l'kuli l'gabe kriyas ha-begillah. But again, maybe not everyone agrees to that Ran. People got into questioning that Ran. So can we still make our shayla even a little bit more calm, even a little bit more grounds to be mekel? Could perhaps one draw the following distinction? Even though it's possible that kriyas ha-begillah may almost be elevated to a quasi deraisa because it's mentioned in Tanakh, is it really mentioned in Tanakh? Well, depends which kriyas ha-begillah you're referring to. The Megillah speaks about Vayomim Ha'ela Niskar Menasim, and Niskarim refers to the Zechira, which is the Gemara interprets to mean the Kriyas HaMegillah. Nasim refers to the Suda and Shalachmanis, but that's all the other mitzvahs Hayyim. Vayomim Ha'ela Niskarim. So the Megillah uses the phrase Yom. Usually, when the Torah speaks about a Yom, Yom usually means the daytime versus nighttime. Yom Tri Yelochem, you have to blow shofar in the day, not at night. You have to shake the lulav in the day, not at night. Sukkah is a little bit of a difference. The Gemara has special drushas, but Sukkah's Teisha Shivas Yomim. How do you know the Rabbis is a Leilos? That's already a whole other drusha. But the starting point is when the Torah draws attention to the word Yom, Yom means the daytime, not the nighttime. The Hayomim Ha'ilin is going to Nasim. Many Acharenim write that the Ikar Mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, as appears in the Megillah itself, it's only by Yom. Now, we all know we lay in the Megillah twice. The Gemara says you have to lay in the Megillah at night and the daytime, but a whole group of Gedolei Acharonim say that the Kriyas HaMegillah of the daytime is the real Ikar Kriya. A lot of people get confused about this. A lot of people think, well, if I can only make it to one of the Kriyas, I'll go at night, because at night, that's when all the kids, that's all excitement. The day, everyone's running to work, you know, people chick-chack, they're running through the Megillah. The emphasis is that up the Alocha, the day Kriya is probably much more important than the night Kriya. I'm not minimizing the night, I'm just overemphasizing the day. So Vayom El Nisgor Menasim. So there are many Acharenim such as the Beit Behuda, the Shagasari, some of the great Acharenim have the following suggestion, that Kriyas HaMegillah by Yom appears in Tanakh. And that may be elevated to be a quasi deraisa. That's possible. We can negotiate the Pribu Gadim. The Kriyas HaMegillah at night, that's for sure mitzvah. That mitzvah is like Neres Chanukah. The Kriyas HaMegillah at night doesn't even appear in the Megillah altogether. It's not even hinted toward the Megillah. Vayom Eila, Meikar Adid of Divrei Kabbal, the mitzvah is instituted by Mordechai and Esther is only by Yom. There is a Did mit Rabban, and you have to late at night. That's like Tosfos Sfiras Omer Bizman Hazeh. That's like Neres Chanukah. Sofet Rabban Lekula would apply to that. If that is true, so that would be a tremendous libet zchus for a little bit of an early jump start on the Kriyas HaMegillah. Because then we'd be very comfortable saying, well, it's been a Shmoshes already. The Ben Hashmoshes, Ben Hashmoshes. We're good to go. Ben Hashmoshes. What's wrong with Lady Ben Hashmoshes? So is that Svar of those Acharonim accepted or not? So some of the Acharonim point out that Svar L'chalik between the night versus the day, and the Ikar Kriya is really the day, and the night is only the Rabbanan, may have its roots in Rishonim as well. And it's actually a Tosfos that impacts on our practice that may discuss this topic. Tosfos in the fourth Gemara Mekamos in Megillah Abdallah Ben Alef, the Gemara has the phrase Chayv Adam Likros a Megillah Ben Laila Shnosa Beyoyim. You have to read the Megillah at night, and then you have to read it again in the daytime. Emiri, the Afal Gav the Mevarich Zman Balayla, Choze Mevarich Osa Beyoyim. Even though you read the Megillah already at night, like you were supposed to, and you recited Shechiyano at night, like you're supposed to, Choze Mevarich Osa Beyoyim. You repeat the Shechiyonu in the daytime as well. Why is that? So we are all familiar with the reason Maram Rutenberg, other Rishonim give. You know why you say second Shechiyonu? That's going with the Suda and the Shalach Manas and the Tazayonu. We make that announcement. Everyone should have in mind that the day Shechiyonu and all the Mitzayon. But Taisus doesn't say that. Taisus gives a different reason why. Taisus writes, to Ikar Persume Nisa Havi Bikriya Diyamama. Says Taisus, the name of the Re, because the Ikar Mitzvah is the day Mitzvah. So Shechiyonu v'kiman v'yom l'zman hazeh is the first time in a year that I'm doing the mitzvah Kriyas HaMegillah of the Yom. I read the Megillah 10 hours before, the night before. That was a different mitzvah. So what does that mean? Last night was a non-Ikar mitzvah, and today is the Ikar mitzvah. What do those words mean? So come to Gedolei Achareinu, the Bihut and Shagasai, and say, this is what we're telling you. That the night mitzvah is not the real mitzvah by Yom HaEilus Korban Asim. It's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. It's very important. Shekin Yishon Mitzvah. The same way we light Neres Chanukah. Same way we wash the Tilos Yadayim. We do a lot of mitzvah. We count Svira, Bezman HaZek, went to Tosis. We do a lot of mitzvahs d'rabbanan. But the mitzvah of lighting the Megillah by day is the more significant, and that's the first time in the season that we're doing that mitzvah. And therefore, in fact, it warrants its own new, brand new Shekhiyonu. If that's the case, if these are Acharonim are right, and this is the diuk in the Tosfos, which just as an aside, not everyone agrees to, the Rambam actually says you don't say Shekhiyonu in the daytime. The Minhag HaGro, they don't say Shekhiyonu in the daytime. Certain shuls don't say Shekhiyonu in the daytime, but Ashkenazim, by and large, do say, most Ashkenazim do say Shekhiyonu in the daytime. So it's very possible that they're going down the route of this Neidim Yudin Shagasariye, that the day Kriya is the real Kriya, and the night Kriya is only Midirabanan, which would be much more, we'd be much more comfortable being Nekil on Ben Hashmashah, so that's the case. So putting the whole picture together, we almost have really three different approaches to be very, very lenient in terms of the Zmanei Hayom, in terms of the earliest time to read the Megillah. In our back pocket, we always have the Mechaber to fall back on, and the Ramah didn't disagree. You can just plug a mincha. That's great, that's wonderful. But again, many, many poskim, including the late Mishnah Berurah HaShulchan, didn't think we should follow that view. So we're not going to go down that route, l'chatchila. Then we have the second suggestion. Well, as long as we're after Shkia, so we're already in the realm of Ben Hashmashos, and even if you just treat Kriyas HaMegillah as just a plain mitzvah derabbanan, so Sveikah derabbanan l'kul, the Ran said Sveikah derabbanan l'kul by Kriyas HaMegillah, so according to the Ran, presumably, you can read Ben Hashmashos, unless the Ran L'Shitasu says you can't, because the Ran says, Enos and Safi Darban L'Kul L'Chadchila. So that's a whole loaded question. So how do all those statements of the Ran, resolve themselves? But again, so we have potential Kula number one is, you always have the Shulchan Aruch to fall back on. Number two, maybe Kriyas HaMegillah is just a plain Darabon, and Safi Darban L'Kul L'Chadchila is okay. And then the third possibility is that even if you want to be Machmir, the Kriyas HaMegillah is a Shavu D'Oraisa and Chumras, and you have to be more machmer on, maybe there are very significant grounds to say all those chumras would only make sense in the day kriya, not in the night kriya. So we have a lot of grounds to be mekel, even to literally join Ben Hashmashos. However, afal pichein, probably the more correct thing to do is if one's able to, the shul's able to try to wait till Tzeis Kichavim. But I think we have to almost put into perspective what number Tzeis Kichavim are waiting for. We mentioned before that Ben Hashmashos is a loaded sugya. How long Ben Hashmashos is, we spoke about this many times in the past. There are an array of opinions as to how long Ben Hashmashos is. I think that in this sugya of Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla, one has a right to take a little bit of a kuladika version of Ben Hashmashos, a little bit of a lower end spectrum of Ben Hashmashos. You don't have to wait till the shiur you would wait for Shabbos, for the Derisas. You can wait to significantly, quote unquote, shorter Ben Hashmashos. Therefore, I think Lefiani is daiti, and again, we've spoke about the math and the calculations of this many times in the past, that the way to calculate Ben Hashmashos in the greater New York, New Jersey area, different places are different depending on how far and close you are to the equator. The numbers change a little bit. But in the area that we live, so according to many, many poskim, the eker din of Ben Hashmashos is somewhere in the 25 to about 30 minute area, somewhere around that, is already the end of Ben Hashmashos. Now again, are we going to do malach at that point? Probably not. Are we going to be yetzik kriyashma at that point? A lot of shuls just say, we'll daven ma'ariv at that point and not even repeat kriyashma. So we're pretty comfortable with that number, even for chashash of der Isis, we're pretty comfortable. I remember years ago when it was about to pour on the Sukkot night. And it was a question if we wanted everyone to get quickly into the Sukkah and eat the kazayas in the Sukkah before the rain came. So on the other hand, the Rambam writes, you have to wait till it's Laila, till it's after Ben Hashmashos, you have to wait till it's Mamash the night, like Pesach night. So how long do you have to wait? So if I'm not mistaken, I think in that year in shul, because I was so nervous, it was supposed to rain, and some of the shuls that waited a little bit longer ended up getting blew it. They had to wait 3 hours till the rain stopped. So if I'm not mistaken, I think we announced something like 30 minutes. I think I said, get into the sukkah, start making kiddush by 28 minutes, 30 minutes after shkia, you can eat your kazayas and you're good to go. So I remember at Chol HaMoed, I was telling Rabbi Willig over that I had given that number of 30. So I think he said to me that Someone had told him a shech to that number. He said, why'd you wait so long? He said, why are you waiting 30? He said, it's less than 30. So again, it's probably somewhere, you know, in the lesser area. If I'm not mistaken, I remember when we used to live in the Heights. So I remember the minhag of the yeshiva, in that case, if anyone who knows the minhag has changed at all, but the minhag of the yeshiva was that they would be machmir to wait for Kriya Shema. They wouldn't daven Maariv early. Even on Friday night, they would machmir to wait for Kriya Shema, and they would wait till 30 minutes. The 30 minutes after Shkia, they're already comfortable enough for the mitzvah deraisa of Kriya Shema. So in Asher, we usually wait till about 25 minutes or so on Friday nights. Now things are a little bit still out of sync with that, with our COVID schedules. But, in the good old days, so hopefully the good old days will come back soon. So we used to wait approximately 25 minutes before for Maariv on Friday night for Kriya Shema. So if we're relying on that number for Shiva deraisas, so I think when it comes to Kriya Shemagila, which according to probably Rav HaPoskim, probably the Derabon anyway, and the night is Zichah Derabon according to Rav HaPoskim, and the whole according to Shulchan Aruch and Deramoy can be yotzim even before Shkia altogether. So to go run around and look for long Tzeis Kechovims to be Matriach people, because you can have 15 more landings anyway that night, I don't think it's necessary. I think the minhag in the shuls, I think this year or some are going to be, again, I think different shuls have different numbers. So somewhere in the 30 minute, 35 minutes, maybe a little bit more, a little bit less, around that approximate number. So we're not looking for a 2 hour Benish Rashis, since we have a lot of other tzadim lahokel, then Mikra Din is going to be good anyway. And since we really, really believe that by ready 30 minutes after Shkia in the New York, New Jersey areas is really Tzitzke Chav and Mikra Din anyway, so it would be really good even for their Isis technically. So for Kriya Shemagila, which by a long shot has a chashash for Der Isa, so I think there's definitely grounds to be made. So I think that's going to be the practice pretty much in Asher, and I suspect that many of the shuls around town, that some of the early slots of Kriya Shemagila are going to begin when they feel is probably Mikra Din already, the early, early end of the Tzitzke Chav. Wish everybody a Freilich HaPurim. We should all have this chus to fulfill the mitzvahs Kedasa Chadin in a safe, healthy way. Because Baruch should watch over us and all of Chais, all the whole world, and we should only be able to, this Purim should just bring Sasa V'Simcha to all of us. Okay. Amen. Amen. Amen.
When you were Rav in Paramus, did you say Shechayonu and Shachris?
Well, is that a loaded question? I may have to turn off the tape recorder for that one. Hold on. Okay, I'll keep it on. So I'll tell you what happened. The minig in the olden days of Paramus, as I'm sure you know, was not to say Shechayonu, because by Broyes they don't say. But as I'm sure you also know, some of the minhagim in the late years of Paramus switched from being pure Yekesha Minhagim to kind of more, quote unquote, mainstream, other communities, Ashkenazi Minhagim. So this particular one, I had the fortune or misfortune to be Yorish, that I didn't make this policy up. It had predated the initial policy that the minhag was that the Balkari did not say Shech Yonah, but he paused for those who wanted to say Shech Yonah themselves. And they had the same thing on the second day Rosh Hashanah with Kish Shofar. The same story. So I happen not to have been the Bakari in those years. Teddy Levy used to be the Bakari when I was there. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, by Shofar, they for sure had the pause, and I think they had the pause by Kriya Megillah as well. So Ishkol Yoshev and Yasa. So I've told over the story in Rosh Hashanah time, the humorous end of this, that it was one of my years in Paramus when my daughter at the time was, I don't know, maybe 5 years old. So she came spaziering into shul in the middle of Musaf, on Rosh Hashanah, and announced at the top of her lungs, said that Ima just came to shul and she wants to know when they start blowing the shofar, should she make a bracha, which informed the entire shul that my wife had missed the tekiyas demiyushev. So I was in the middle of davening, and so I nodded. Then my daughter walks out, and 2 seconds later she comes spatzering back in on the top of her lungs again. Ima wants to know, should she say shechiyanu? And it was the second day. So now all eyes turned on me, because here for 3 years I had kept shut. I didn't tell what I was doing, because I just put my hand over my mouth and I happened to say Shechiyanu and all those pauses, but I never had to tell it publicly. Now all eyes looked at me. So I gave the nod, and I almost like saw on one end of the shul, thumbs up for the rabbi, and the other thumbs down for the rabbi. So no, should be good. She won't say Shechiyanu. Whenever we say Shechiyanu, Chesh Bar should give us all Shechiyanu. We should all give, live and be well, Shechiyanu Kimani. Good. Be well to everybody.